Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 8.
Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 8 reads this way. It says, "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, the privilege of having you as our Savior and knowing your word and your truths and your promises, where you've said where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence here tonight. We ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit and Lord, for the blessing of you revealing to us your word and your will for our lives, and that you would be honored and glorified and strengthening the faith that you've given to us and giving us more of your grace that we might be witnesses and testimony of your great love to us and to the world. Bless tonight, Lord. Bless your people, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, The Love of God versus the Love of the World. The Love of God versus the Love of the World, or a lad with a little, right? Just had a little bit of bread, had a little bit of fish. And God did some great and mighty things with those few small things. But really the contrast tonight here is the love of God versus the love of the world. Now this is important this evening because you're hearing a lot about love, are you not? It's perverted, it's twisted, it's not the love of God, it's the love of the world. And I just want us to consider some things to evaluate as we walk through this life equipped with the wisdom of God and not of the world, or lest we be fooled and not know how to stand when they contradict. The Bible says, you know, that God will give us what to say in the hour of need, and the gainsayers won't be able to say anything against it. And so as we consider the Word of God tonight, we want to just focus in a little bit on the love of God versus the love of the world. Now, the Bible tells us something else also. It says in the end days, there's going to be a falling away. And that word is apostasy or an apostate. That means they were not authentic. They were not real. They were imposters. They pretended to say they believed something and then they fell away. Now listen, we have to make a decision, and we should do it now before anything happens, but we should make this decision. Why do I follow, or what is it that causes me to follow God? I say I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. How far am I willing to go in being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? How far will I follow the Lord? Will I follow him up to a certain point? And then I'll say, well, I can't follow you anymore. Remember when the Lord said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can't be my disciple. And they couldn't walk anymore with him. And so he went over to the 12 and said, will ye also go away? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Are we followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, or are we followers of the Lord Jesus Christ until, and then we fill in the blank. Well, I want you to know something, and you may have heard about it, and here recently, two famous Christian musicians or singers and songwriters decided to draw the line with homosexuality. So in other words, we're going to love our and accept them, and God's going to love them just like they are. That's not the truth. God says there'll be no homosexual, and there'll be no adulterer, there'll be no fornicator. There won't be any of these kinds of people in heaven. So they're deceiving themselves. Now, the first thing they're going to say is, well, that doesn't sound very lovable. That doesn't sound very loving at all. What kind of love is that? Well, let me explain to you what the love of God is in contrast with the love of the world. Four quick thoughts, believe it or not. And we're going to move through quickly on this. The love of God is not bias. That means unfairly prejudiced, right? The love of God is not bias. It's not unfairly prejudiced. It doesn't favor anybody more than anybody. The open door is Whosoever will follow the Lord, whosoever will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever wants to be a follower of him can come. But those who are obstinate and defiant of the ways of God, well, you know, they're not going to be born again. There has to be, listen, just as there was a physical birth and that brought life into this world, likewise also, spiritually speaking, we must be spiritually born again to have eternal life, and it's founded only, you can only be born in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like you could only be born, oh boy, this is a tough one, by your mother and father. By a mother and father brought you into this world. That's it. That's it. That is it. Now, there are people that are twisting and deceiving themselves, and why in the world would we humor anybody that is really, listen, the book of Romans shows us the progression of the judgment of God on people who turn their backs. You'll watch, listen, then God finally gives them over when they're persistent in a particular way against God. The Bible says God gives them over to a reprobate mind. They believe that lie, they're given to that lie, and you are not going to explain anything away. So listen, if God's people ever needed direction and assurance in their life from the Lord, it's today, because things are changing dramatically, very quickly. All right, so let's look at the first four verses, and I want you to see that the love of God is not biased or unfairly prejudiced. Notice this. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Listen to this. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that he was pleased with and that did what he asked. Or does it say that he healed them that were diseased, right? He did these miracles on them, which were, in other words, he did not say, now I'm going to heal you, but I'm not going to heal you. I like you, but I don't like you. He didn't say that. His love went unbiasedly out to all of them. Now listen, possibly were there some people healed there that were genuinely seeking the Lord? Yes. Were there also others that were there that just wanted the benefit of being healed and really didn't want anything to do with following the Lord? Yes. And God did not discriminate against any one of them. He healed them all unconditionally. And that is really the way God works. Look at verse 3. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So now he's drawing in the followers. You had the multitudes. Now you have those. By the way, you and I, if we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not following ourselves, we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Verse 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. So there's a multitude. Now he's being specific to a specific group of people. But I want you to know this also. Listen, the love of God allows us to draw our own conclusions in our own time. Hear me clearly. Listen, the love of God allows us to draw our own conclusions in our own time. Listen, I don't know if you heard about this here recently, but there's a Russian hockey player. Did you hear this? This is on the news already, and they wanted them to come out with the rainbow, the LGBTQ tape around their hockey stick, and I think their numbers were also going to be in the LGBTQ. He didn't do it. He was the only one on the team that said no. That won't be on my stick and that won't be on my back. And so they approached him and they asked him. And he said, I just want you to know I'm a Russian Orthodox believer. It goes against my belief, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Do you know that there were some commentators, news commentators, that were outraged? He should be fired, fined, and never allowed to play. Oh, that's love, isn't it? Oh boy, that's very patient. That's very kind. Oh, that's very understanding. Let's ruin this man's life because he doesn't think the way I think. Gee, that sounds like communism. Amen. That sounds like if you don't march the way I tell you to march, You're going to pay for it. Well, I don't think that's freedom, do you? Let me come to my own conclusion. You live life for you and leave me alone. By the way, who do you think you are in the first place? Who died and made you boss? You put on your pants or your clothes and your shoes the same way I do, one at a time. And nobody made you the boss. There's only one. And his throne is in heaven. And so they call that love, but I want you to know something. That is hatred to the utmost, that you would look to ruin somebody because they don't march to the beat of your drum. Well, the beat of your drum to the word of God, and they will one day face the Lord. They'll find out then that they're wrong. But I want you to know something. The true church today does not condemn and does not wish ill will on those who are rejecting the Lord. We're wanting them to have all the time that they need to evaluate for themselves the way that they should go. But we're going to preach the truth because it is the gospel message, it is the truth of the Word of God that distinguishes right from wrong. And so there are wrong people that are very vehement about their position, and they don't care. And listen, they don't even want to hear an explanation. They've already passed judgment. And it's wrong. But I want you to know the love of God is not like that. Listen very carefully here, if you'll look with me here in verse 5. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him, he went to his disciples. He saith unto Philip, these people are out of luck. Right? He said, these people are sunk. No. He said, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, he's dealing with the multitude, but is he not also talking with Philip? Now, I want you to know that the Lord was wanting him, watch how the Lord works. The Lord was wanting Philip to come to his own conclusion based upon the truth. Now, he was missing the truth. He didn't understand the truth at the moment, but the Lord was going to allow him to make the mistake or to misunderstand that he might learn, see? And then he still has the choice whether or not he's going to believe and walk in the truth that he's getting ready to witness. So notice what it says right here. He asks Philip again. He says, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Notice verse 6. And this he said, Jesus, to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He knew the whole time what was going to happen. That's our God. And the reason why the lost sinner still has a beat in his heart is because God is giving them time to make a choice. Some of them have already made a choice, but he's still being merciful to them that they might make another choice, that they might reevaluate the error, that they might look at their choice and realize it stinks. I'm not really happy. I'm not really being fulfilled, because if I was so happy, why am I so concerned about hurting other people? All right? So, verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, Philip was saying, if we had this much money, this would even suffice for them just to have a little. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't the first miracle the marriage at Cana? And didn't the Lord turn water into wine? And wasn't it like something they've never tasted before? It was so good. And Philip kind of forgot who he was with, didn't he? But the Lord was working with Philip so that he would not be dependent upon what he could provide or what he could do, but what God could do. Is what the Lord was trying to teach him, wasn't it? The first thing Philip did, which is the first thing that we do, is we look to ourselves. That's the natural inclination. But as a saved child of God, we need to redirect our focus onto the Lord. Because if not, we won't be any better off than the rationalization or the wisdom of those who don't know the Lord. That's why you have some people who profess to know the Lord that are now compromising on the Word of God that doesn't change. And they call themselves believers. That's a sad state of affairs. And it was a male singer and a female singer that you may know if I mention their names. And they've been around for many years anyway. So here we go. We find that the love of God allows us to draw our own conclusions in our own time. And then thirdly, I want you to see that the love of God always works in a volunteer fashion, never forced. It's never forced. In other words, something bad is not going to happen to you. I mean, when I say that, as a result of you making a bad decision right then and right there. Now, unless, in other words, when it comes to spiritual things, God is not going to say, now listen, if you don't believe in me by faith, a brick's going to fall on your head. That's not what he's saying. There are results. In other words, you don't get the peace of joy. You don't get the love of God. As God would have you have it, you're in his hands as a saved child of God, but you miss out. When we start looking to what we can provide for ourselves, we no longer are asking God to provide for us, and therefore we don't see the work of God. He still loves us, still holds us in his hands, and sometimes God will, on the behalf of his children, he'll answer anyway, and sometimes we can see, oh boy, look how good the Lord is, even when I don't ask him sometimes, okay? So, but it's always voluntary. In other words, God's not pushing us. A shepherd, what is the position of the shepherd? Is he behind the sheep with a whip, cracking it? Or is he out in front saying, follow me? And his sheep know his voice. One of the interesting things, really, it's amazing when you go to Israel and it's for whatever reason, all the shepherds get together with all their different kinds of sheep. And they get together, I don't know if it's a lunch break or whatever, they get together and they all intermingle. And you're looking at all these hundreds of sheep all over the place and they're just all intermingled with all the other shepherd sheep. And then all of a sudden it's time for one shepherd to get going and he gets out there and he does some little call and all his sheep pop up and go after him. All the other sheep stay because the sheep know his voice. And Israel understood what the Lord was saying when he said that. They said, yeah, that's impressive. Okay, so the love of God always works in a volunteer fashion, never forced. Look at verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, remember, they're still looking how to feed the multitude, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Yay! Right? No. He goes on and he says, but what are they among so many? And by the way, listen, may I tell you something? Fathom this thought. Remember, the Lord knew what he was going to do? He was on to it. But he didn't believe, right? He didn't understand. And by the way, let's consider the lad for a moment here, right? Did Andrew go over to the young lad and pick him up by the scruff and shake him down for those 5 loaves and the two fishes? Or do you think that lad was willing to give up the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes? And as you pick up the spirit of Christ there, you will see that it was all voluntary. And listen to this. He's penned down in history. He was a young lad who was willing to give what little he had, and God blessed it and multiplied it. Now, fathom this thought here as we consider this. He was not coerced, cornered, or pushed into making that decision. He was willing to do it. Kind of like that news commentator that was saying, oh, let's be kind to this hockey player who has a spiritual conviction about the sin of homosexuality. He sees that as being something wrong. He sees that as being a contradiction. But what you have to realize is that there is the spirit of the world. It's of Antichrist. It's against God. And here's the crazy thing. God is wanting to reach out to them. Now, they're not receiving it right now, but I want you to understand something. We as a nation, I'm convinced of this, we're being judged. Because you go back to 1961, as a nation, we decided to take the Word of God out of schools. And then later on, we didn't want the Ten Commandments to be in the schools because the kids might look at them and obey them. Well, gee, that would be a horrible thing. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not, commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Those are horrible things that they should obey. Of course not. And then, of course, 1972 and the abortion, and we're killing babies. And then you have other nations do not do what we do. They wouldn't put up with it because they still understand what a family unit is. And we've opened up a door as a nation, and God is giving them over to a reprobate mind. You watch them. They get so angry, and they are so adamant about hurting anybody that stand. Listen, if you were to ask them, do you believe they ought to be exterminated? I venture to say you'd get some to agree to say, yeah, I think we ought to remove them. I think they're nothing more than vermin. Sound familiar? They're not fit to live because they don't think the way that we think. And by the way, meanwhile, the position of a Christian is that's your choice. We don't agree with it. We think it's wrong. We think it's harmful. But I'm not going to stand in your way. That's your choice. And I'm not wishing any ill will. Now, they want to portray this idea that, oh, we've been so suppressed. Tell me, please, pray tell, where? You will find that the majority of the people in that kind of a lifestyle are pretty well off. They're not suppressed, really, unless it comes from themselves. The society is not suppressing them at all. And never have, really. In the 80s, I've worked with several of them, and I never saw them suppressed. See, at first they came in like this. We just want equal rights. Now what do they want? You accept me, or we're going to shut your business down. You ought not to play your professional sport. You ought not to function the way you want to function unless you condone my sin. That's where they're coming from. Why is that? Listen, God has given them over to a reprobate mind. They are so bent in that direction. Now, listen, something else. I've said this for many times, and my wife can tell you, I don't see America in the time of the tribulation. I don't see America. I have no idea until it happens. I've told you this before. Prophecy, when we look at it, I could have this completely wrong. But if the rapture were to take place, everything's getting moving on stage, cashless society, all that, my goodness, is in place like we've never seen before. If the rapture were to take place in America today, anything goes. If there's no more Christians, listen, the Holy Spirit's gone in a way like never before, and you will not recognize this nation at all, because it was because of the Lord Jesus Christ and people who were seeking him that this nation was ever blessed in the first place. And God is not going to force that, so he will, being the gentleman that he is and the loving God that he is, he won't force himself. He'll step out of the way, and there is no life without him. People will deceive themselves. And unfortunately, they will fail. So this was never forced on this young lad. He gave it voluntarily. And then lastly, the love of God benefits everybody, even if the love of God is not understood. It's always multiplied. Again, in this multitude of people, there were probably people that genuinely wanted to learn more about the Lord, and there were there people that just wanted to be healed. Okay, that's the case, and you'll pick that up in the scriptures. But look at verse 10 with me. And Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, that's good, isn't it? He said unto his disciples, by the way, that's all of them, whether they really came there seeking to learn more about the Lord or just for their own physical benefit, God bless them all, gather up the fragments that remain and nothing be lost. Therefore, verse 13, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then Those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When they saw that, the disciples knew for sure. There were others that probably said, "Wow." And I think that little lad was probably encouraged as well. But there were still some there that rejected the Lord. Listen, I think we live in perilous times. I think I see that quite evident more and more. I don't know. We're in God's hands. And even the things that aren't pleasant, God is still in control over. God is not willing that any should perish. But God does want us to stand and be wise and not fall into the trap. We've got to make a decision. Are we following the Lord no matter what, or just to a certain point? To whom shall we go? I'm for going with the Lord all the way. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. Listen, I want you to know, I want to follow the Lord all the way. I can't do it by myself. I need the Lord and His grace and His strength to do it. I don't want to fail my God, because He bought me with a price. I belong to Him. And by the way, the things that He has for His people are for His people if they want it. He's not pushing it on them. You don't have to follow the Lord. You don't have to be here tonight. You can do anything else. And yet you're here tonight because I think it was your choice. But I think we better start getting ready. Better start preparing to walk with the Lord closer than ever before. I don't know what's going to happen. Now, I'll tell you the way I would like to see it. Ready? The rapture takes place, and then all hell breaks loose. If that's the way it's going to happen. In other words, then the devil can have his will and his way. But we may be here for some pre-rapture. I believe before the tribulation takes place, just to be clear, I believe the church is out. But listen, are Christians being persecuted today? And we've been very fortunate in America for a very long time. These people are very adamant and very hostile and very hateful towards people that don't condone what they stand for. I'm not wanting to stop them. I'm not wanting any ill will on them. But it may become a little bit more difficult in standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, because the world and the devil are against the Lord. They're at enmity, because it's like night and day. It's lightness and darkness. And so tonight God would have us listen, call on Him every day and say, "God, that I might stand for You." If we're not careful, we're worried about what the world is worried about instead of looking to standing with the Lord and following Him. Listen, and I want you to know something. I've worried about things. I have. I've worried about things. I told you, I've worried about politics. And since the beginning of this year, praise God, listen, I have not looked at any news. And you know something, an amazing thing? It hasn't affected my life one bit. Let me say this. It has. I'm a lot happier. I am a lot happier. Not knowing what's going on hasn't changed. Hasn't made me fretful or worried. It's the same garbage. Take all the politics of last year. How much would you give for it? How much would you give for it? Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life, because we look to the Lord, the Lamb of God, who holds us in His hands. Listen, God, show us how to walk. I don't want to walk in my own righteousness. I have none. I need to walk in the Lord's righteousness, because I want to love as Jesus did. And I want to be kind to those who are not kind. I want the grace of God to be seen, that they might have an opportunity to see us, even if they're hurtful or hateful towards us, but that they might see us as Christ who dwells within us. So the love of God is quite different than the love of the world. The world has no love, because God is love and the world has no God. doesn't have the God. So tonight, we have everything we need in the Lord Jesus Christ to stand faithful. And everything we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the encouragement that it brings. Lord, we don't know what the future holds, but you do, and we can rest in that. We don't know what's going to come and what's going to take place, but we don't even have to worry about that because you've told us you hold us in your hands. And Lord, that we'll be able, you'll give us what to say. We don't even have to think about what we have to say. You will give us what is needed at the time that won't be able to be spoken against. And we thank you for that in advance. Lord, bless Northwood Baptist Church. Help us to see the importance of seeking you early while you may be found. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.